Welcome back to Just Scrap Radio on BJPenn.com. I'm your host, Cole Shelton, and this is the most actual in the history of the program ahead of UFC 252, which goes down on August 15th. First up, we are joined by former UFC heavyweight champion Junior Dos Santos to preview his fight against Yarzinho Rozenstruik. We talk about how important this fight is to get back in the win column. Him fighting a teammate, as him and Rozenstruik are both ATT guys. We talk about where he thinks a win puts in the division, how far away from getting the belt, and what winning or what reclaiming the heavyweight title does for his legacy and his career. We also discussed that picture he showed where he was like 220 pounds, where he said John Jones. Talked about whether or not a light heavyweight move is ever possible for him, and just how he sees this fight playing out. It was a really good chat, so I hope you all enjoy. Next up, you can't talk UFC 252 without talking to the Sugar Show, Sean O'Malley. We got Sean O'Malley on to preview his co-main event spot against Marlon Vera. He got bumped up to the co-main event. Big spot for Sean O'Malley. Vera's is going to be his toughest test. He's good good grappler, good striker. Going to be a super interesting fight if O'Malley wins this. Probably a top 10 guy next. We talk about the fight, how he thinks he's going to knock out Chito Vera, and who else is kind of on his radar of who he wants to fight next or down the line. Next up, we're joined by Dos Santos' opponent in Yarzinho Rozenstruik. He talks about what it's like and be able to fight Junior Dos Santos, what he learned since losing to Francis Ngannou. That was a brutal knockout. He's coming back fairly soon, but he's confident he can get his hand raised again, start building that momentum back up. And we also discuss a possibility of him rematching Ngannou down the line. That's something he really wants. He knows he didn't get to show everything he could in that fight just because it ended so soon. And finally, we're joined by Marlon Chito Vera to preview his scrap against Sean O'Malley. Vera's been calling this fight, been calling for this fight for a long time. He's super into this one. He's motivated as ever, and he thinks he's going to finish Sean O'Malley and really expose him. He doesn't think the hype's real. He's excited for this test. He's still kind of pissed off. He lost to Song Yudong last time in the judges, so he said he can't trust the judges anymore. He's got to go out there and finish Sean O'Malley. So I really hope you enjoy the show. Four guests, four great guests, so enjoy. All right, we're joined by the fifth-ranked UFC heavyweight and former UFC heavyweight champion, Junior Dos Santos. Junior, how's it going?
Going all good. How about you?
I'm doing well. This fight against Rozenstruik, he's a guy that trains at ATT with you. So were you reluctant to take this fight just because you are teammates?
Actually, you know, he's training here, but not for long. I think for his last two fights, he's doing the training camp over here. But I've never trained with him, you know. So that's all good for now. And, well, he's the number six, in the rankings. I'm the number five. And this fight makes sense right now, you know. So I don't really want to fight teammates, you know, but it's the business work, you know. We are not against each other, like in terms of like personal way, you know, but we are professionals. We have to fight, so I think it's gonna be a great fight. Actually,
you guys haven't sparred together or anything like that, have you?
No, I've never trained, like I said, I've never trained with them, you know. And yeah, that's probably after the fight, we will train together, but not now.
Is that what's so good about ATT? Is it's such a massive gym where you guys are at the same gym, but you don't share coaches or you don't train together?
Oh, yeah. It's ATT is the best gym in the world. You know, it's not there's a reason for that. You know, the structure is great. You know, the coaches, everything there is great. And they're huge. So, man, I don't even... I'm not even seeing Jairzinho. We are training at the same gym, and I saw him like, I don't know, 15 days ago once, and that's it. You know, I said hi, and not much than that.
And this fight, co-main event, what's it like to be co-main event on pay-per-view here? Because this is going to be a big pay-per-view. You obviously have that heavyweight trilogy.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a great... card, you know, a great fights happening that same night, especially the main event, you know, and of course especially the co-main event which is me and Jairzinho. Yeah, but I think, you know, it's a great show. I'm happy to be part of it, and I'll give my best to have a great result. Actually, there is since 2013 I don't fight three rounds. Since then, I was fighting only five rounds, and now finally I'm fighting three rounds again. I think it's gonna be kind of good.
Well, how much different does that make camp, not having to do those extra rounds and sparring and whatnot? And then you can really push a pace, because given it's only three rounds.
Yeah, it's different. I'm used to five rounds, you know, but training camp is different than the other one. You know, we have to train hard as, you know, we are training for a title fight. So it doesn't make a big difference for me, because we train very hard over here, man. I like to feel that very tired, you know. if I'm tired, it means that I'm working very hard. So I like to do that, and that's what's going on right now. You know, we are doing great training over here at ATT. I have my team and my coaches here with me, Jukão, and many other guys. I have Zé Comeia, which is a UFC fighter too, helping me on this training camp. So thank God everything is going good. You know, my coach Doria, he wasn't able to come from Brazil, you know, to help us. So at this time we are doing the training without him, but he's also giving us the support from there.
Was this the time frame you wanted after your last fight to fight in August?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Was this when you wanted to fight in August, or were you looking to return a bit sooner?
I don't have I don't really have a goal to my next fight. You know, I need to be at that time or whatever. As soon as I got, you know, I came from my last fight, my first goal was to have my next fight, like another fight already. But because of this pandemic, we couldn't. So everything was kind of tough for everybody. It still is. But especially like in special terms for me, because I hate to have negative results. And when I had that one, my intention was to come back as soon as possible, and I couldn't because of the pandemic. So it was kind of hard to deal with, but it's in the past already. Now I have a fight, it's almost there, and that's what matters.
How important is this one to win, just to snap that losing streak?
Well, every fight is very important to win, but especially this one, you know, because I want to go back to my winning streak and stay there for you know, for a long time, and to get the belt again and defend the belt for a few times, you know. But that's my main goal right now, to become the champion again and stay there as long as I can. I know I have everything what it takes. I'm not just saying that, you know. It's I really believe that I will become the champion again, and it's a matter of time, you know. It's gonna happen, and of course I have this fight now, you know, fighting Jairzinho. It's important for me too, because this guy, you know, he just lost for his first fight. He wasn't defeated, you know, and it means a lot, because he's a really tough guy, really tough opponent. And that's the type of fight that I want, you know, to be involved with.
So, Rozenstruik's last loss was to Ngannou. Is Ngannou the hardest hitter you faced? That guy, everyone talks about how hard he hit.
Well, everybody knows that Ngannou hits very hard. You know, he has a lot of knockout power. He has long arms. But I don't think so. You know, I think the hardest hitter that I ever get heated from, you know, it's Stipe Miocic, the champion. You know, he hits very hard, man. Like I said, you know, everybody knows that Ngannou has a lot of power, and especially when he's able to connect good punches because of his long arms too. You know, he's dangerous, very, very dangerous. You know, and in our fight, you know, I paid a expensive price for the mistake I did it. I saw the opportunity, and I threw a very hard overhand right, and I missed it. So he was able to connect a hook right after that, you know, and I was kind of dizzy. So he enjoyed the moment and finished the fight. Man, yeah, the guy is, man, he's a beast, as everybody knows, you know, but he has a lot of limitations, the way I see, you know, especially he right now he's talking a lot, but what I can say right now about this guy is that I can't wait to fight him again.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Do you want a rematch with him down the line?
Of course, that's very important to me. You know, one of the important fights I have to do in my career. You know, especially because he was trying to take the the my boxing, like my boxing. How can I say that? Because everybody knew me. Knows me as, you know, the best boxing on the heavyweight division, and he was saying that he was the best boxing now because he knocked me out, you know. But man, yeah, he's far away, you know, from having good technique, good boxing skills. Of course he has a lot of boxing, but a lot of power, but no really good skills, you know. As we could see on his last fight, you know, against Jairzinho, he just throws hard hands and wait for the best. You know, and the best is coming, because when you have that kind of power, you know, you have a certain of advantage.
With Rozenstruik, is this kind of that perfect matchup for you? Another striker, but a guy where I think you probably have the wrestling advantage as well.
Oh yeah, this is a good fight, actually. Every fight for me is good, you know. I want to keep fighting. I want to fight the best. You know, right? And right now, I really believe I'm fighting one of the best guys in the scenario right now. You know, he's doing a great job, you know, on his career. And that's what matters for me. I want to go back to my winning streak, you know, and maybe on a very soon future, fight for the title again. But one of the important things for me too is to do my rematches, not only with Ngannou, which I will really enjoy if the UFC make that happen very soon again, but with Curtis Blaydes too, you know, with even with the champion, you know, Stipe. So yeah, it's important for me to fight these guys again, but the most important is to get the title back.
How do you see this fight playing out against Rozenstruik? Because a lot of people don't expect this one to hit the scorecards.
Well, yeah, I don't think so too. You know, it's both strikers, you know, with a lot of power, knockout power. You know, he's a knockout artist. You know, I'm a knockout artist, so it's gonna be a very interesting fight for the fans. You know, and I see a beautiful fight, you know, but my advantage, I believe, against any heavyweight is the speed and the footwork. You know, I move a lot and I have a lot of speed, you know, so I think it's a good advantage against these guys, you know, especially this striking guys, you know, like Rozenstruik.
With a win over him, where do you think that puts you in the division? Like, how far away from another title shot do you think you are?
I don't think very very far away. You know, the division is kind of stopped right now, you know, because this trilogy of Cormier and Miocic. But let's see. I think Ngannou may be fighting for the title very soon again. And I'll do one or two more fights after this one. And then I'll probably fight for the title again, you know. And like I said, I would appreciate to fight one of these guys. I don't know if against Ngannou or Curtis, one of these guys. It would be a good rematch. Even a fight with Volkov. Yeah. Not really, actually. right now, it wouldn't be very interesting. But yeah, fights fight, whatever. You know, I'll fight anyone that the UFC wants me to fight with.
Well, and the trilogy with Miocic, you guys are 1-1. Do you think that trilogy kind of has to happen sometime in the future?
I feel I feel it needs to happen, yeah. Because like I said, you know, Miocic, I admire Miocic a lot, you know. For me, he's a great champion. To be better, a better champion than him, just me. So yeah. So I can't wait, yeah, to have that chance again to fight against him. I know he has great skills, you know, he has a great mentality. And like I said before, you know, I have everything what it takes to beat all of them, and I will again.
A couple months ago, you posted that picture where you're looking really slim, and people said, "Oh, JDS going to 205." Is that ever a possibility? You'd go into light heavyweight?
Maybe if they give me the John Jones fight, then I will. Yeah, but I was kind of heavy, you know, and feeling like lazy. So I didn't like that, you know. I was, especially with the pandemic, you know, everybody's at home, you know, I couldn't be, the gym was closed. So I said, my gosh, man. I exposed that to my doctors, you know, my nutritionist, Marcelo Guedes, and my doctor, Maria Bogeia. So they came with that idea for me, you know, to do a keto diet. I never did before, you know. I don't need to lose weight to my fights, you know. I weigh around 248. I used to weigh 248, 250. So, you know, I still could gain some weight, you know, for my fights. But I don't like that. I like to feel lean. I like to feel light, to move better, you know. I can still feel strong as well. So, like when I was champion, I used to weigh 238, 230, 240. So that's what I did. I went down to 238 to 240, you know, with that diet. And I felt great. I'm still feeling great. I'm not doing the diet anymore because I cannot stay without carbohydrates while I'm training, because I could, you know, get hurt. But that's what my nutritionist said. But I'm feeling great, you know. I'm waiting right now 240, 242, around that, and it's nice, you know, because I'm fast, I'm strong, and I can move well. I'm feeling like I was when I was I got the chance to win the title in 2011.
Well, that's what I want to touch on. You are a really fast heavyweight. So how crucial do you think that's going to be in this fight? Just your speed, and against all these other fights, just your speed in these fights.
It's a big advantage, like I said. You know, these guys, they are, you know, stuck in place all the time, you know, especially the heavyweights. They just stand there and they throw heavy hands. And it's not about it, you know. It's about moving. It's about positioning yourself better. That's what I believe, you know. I'm a big, of course, a Muhammad Ali fan, and I really believe I'm the Muhammad, kind of the Muhammad Ali of the MMA. You know, I can move very well. You know, I could do better actually if I wouldn't worry about takedowns or kicks. I could move even better, you know, like Ali used to do. But of course, we have to be more careful with the takedowns, with the kicks. So, but I think that this ability that I have, you know, to move well, I'm natural. I'm made of truth, man. I can do whatever I want because I'm natural, you know. And this is natural for me. It's normal for me to move that way, to because my weight is perfect for me, you know. It was made you know, for me, like you know. And I feel good this way.
I just have a few more things for you. Is if you get the heavyweight belt back, what do you think that does for your legacy to be a two-time heavyweight champion?
I think it's gonna be great. And even for me, you know, because, man, I you know, when I lost the belt was for Velasquez again, you know. And I really believe, he did a great job, but it was in another times, you know. And I cannot say it wasn't a problem because, yeah, mentally, this game is a mental game. 70 or 80% of a fight is in your head. You have to believe, you have to have no doubts. about what you're able to do, you're capable to do, you know. And I was coming from great victories. I was coming from a great moment, and then I got that loss, the first loss, and then the second loss for Velasquez. So that was kind of tough, you know, because the way it happened, you know. But like I said, I'm made of truth, and I'm still around, and I'll still be here for a few years more, and I'll get that belt back and cement, like put a statement, you know, on my career on this sport.
And you and Kane obviously have that legendary trilogy. On the card is the Miocic-Cormier trilogy. That's the big debate of what was the better heavyweight trilogy. What do you think is better, yours and Kane's or Stipe and DC's?
Me and Kane's was much better, actually. People were more, you know, excited about it, you know, and we were more fun as well, you know. They are kind of boring.
And just last thing, if you get the belt back and start to defend a couple more, like how many wins or title defenses do you think you'd be from being considered the greatest heavyweight of all time? Because there's a big debate. Is it Kane? Is it Stipe? But if you were to get the belt back and rain off a couple defenses, you'd be right up there too.
Yeah. Actually, I don't really care about that, you know, man, because it's all about opinions. And there's many things going on this sport, you know, with the time. But for me, it's going to be important to get the belt back, you know, to just live this moment again, you know. It's being the champion, being the number one is amazing. And I have 100% like sure, I'm 100% sure that I can be that guy. You know, I have everything what it takes, man. I train very hard. I dedicate my life to be who I am, you know, and things are not happening. I really be under not happening in a good way for me right now, because I really believe it's you know, my mental game is kind of I have a I'm not that strong right now with my mental game, but I'm working on that, and it's gonna change. It's gonna change. You guys will see on this fight. I think this fight will be kind of will show the world, you know, a different Junior dos Santos. Different. What I mean is like in the attitude, you know, being more like I was before, like 100% sure, having no doubts about my victory, you know, my capacity to win. So I think. I'm living a good moment right now. I've been learning very good, very important things, you know, with this, all these fights and all everything what's happening. So I'm kind of understanding myself a little better. And this fight, I'm not just saying that, you know, I want you guys to pay attention on this fight now against Jairzinho. And you will see a very confident Junior dos Santos that will become the champion again.
All right, well, Junior, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Absolutely. Yeah, have a good one. All right, we're now joined by ranked UFC bantamweight Sean O'Malley. Sean, how's it going?
Doing good.
And when we last spoke was after your Eddie Wineland win, and you told me you wanted Marlon Vera. Was this a fight you really pushed for?
Yeah, I think it made sense for the UFC, too. They looked at his last fight as a win. Which gives him 6 in a row with 5 finishes. And you know, I'm coming off, you know, a good win. So I thought it was a perfect fight. I figured they'd give me him.
And you two were supposed to fight at 239. Then obviously all that you saw and stuff happened. Did that add to it of why you wanted to fight him, just because there's kind of unfinished business there?
Yeah, a little bit. I was just the same. I wanted to fight El Teco too. Just because I was supposed to fight him and it didn't work out. And I know Cheeto went through a full fight camp wanting to fight me. So, you know, I'm sure he wants to fight me too. Maybe not. Maybe actually, you know, who knows what he's thinking.
And you're on another main card of pay-per-view. Do you think this is it for you from now on? Just going to be on these pay-per-views?
honestly, I don't even think about any of that until I'm just fighting until I can get a big enough name to where I'm main event on the pay-per-view. That's it. I don't really care where I'm at on the card until then.
And you're a guy, even last time we spoke before 250, you said that entire fight week was about the Sugar Show. It's kind of seeming like the same thing here where you're getting a lot of the attention, even more than the Stipe Cormier thing, trilogy. Like, do you think it's only a matter of time before you are the main event?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, a couple more wins and I'm going to be the main event. Stipe versus DC trilogy is going to be legendary. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of hype around that. But when it comes fight week, you know, we'll see what's being talked about the most. Like I said, that's going to be a legendary fight, but we'll see who gets more hype.
And someone else you were calling it was Cody Garbrandt. Was that ever discussed or was it always Cheeto?
No, Dana went on record saying that he doesn't want me to beat up Cody because he doesn't know who I'd fight next, so he wants me to wait. So I think I beat up Cheeto, and then I know Cody and Marlon are trying to fight in October, so either if that happens, I'm going to be ready in case something happens there, but yeah, we'll see.
And ever since that USADA stuff happened, you've really been fighting often. Like, you fought March, June, and now you're fighting August. Was this kind of the right time frame for you? Was August, or was this even sooner than you expected?
No, I wanted to fight July. I didn't. August wasn't. It just happened like that. I was ready to fight. You know, and after the fight, if I have no injuries, there's, you know, and if the opponent was right, there was no reason I didn't fight earlier. But they had to force Cheeto to sign the contract, so it took a little longer.
And Cheeto Vera, how do you see this fight playing out? Because he is a dangerous guy. A lot of people thought he won his last fight. Has a lot of stoppage wins. Like, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, he is a dangerous opponent. He's a, you know, really good black belt in jiu-jitsu. You've got some TKO wins as well. A bunch of stoppages. I don't think he's ever been finished, which is, you know, will be sweet for me to finish him for his first time. it's in the smaller cage, so... You know, I was kind of thinking, like, that's going to be a disadvantage for me. But the more I think about it, you know, it's just – I feel like it's going to be a disadvantage for him because I guess it doesn't really matter what we fight in. I just don't see him being able to really connect any punches on me or be able to get a hold of me. And if you can't grab someone or land any punches, it's just going to be, you know, not a fun fight for you. So – that's how I see a lot of my fights playing out, just them not being able to hit me or grab me. And that's a good mindset, good feeling going into a fight, feeling like that.
And when we spoke before Wineland, you said you had that feeling you're getting a viral knockout. Do you have the same feeling for this fight?
Yeah, Cheeto's going to be, you know, with Wineland, his hands, I looked at that fight and I'm like, I'm going to knock this dude out 100%. With Cheeto, he keeps his hands up a little more. He's flat-footed. He's flat-footed like Eddie was, kind of like Eddie moved a little more, but in a different way. Cheeto's pretty flat-footed and throws one combo, like one punch, one kick. And people that do that against me get knocked out. So I feel like I usually feel going into a fight, like I'm going to knock this dude out.
We obviously know how dangerous you are on the feet, but your ground game is something a lot of people don't talk about. You had a lot of success in that quintet tournament. Do you think that's still kind of a hidden secret of yours? Is your jiu-jitsu and your wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, if Cheeto's a black belt in jiu-jitsu and follows jiu-jitsu at all, and he sees I'm training with Tenkino, he has to assume my jiu-jitsu's decent. You know what I mean? But I don't. He can assume whatever he assumes my jiu-jitsu is, it's better than that. And I think that goes for a lot of people. Whatever they think my jiu-jitsu is, it's better than that. So yeah, it's a, you know, it's kind of a secret weapon. If he takes a shot on me and it's not a good shot, his head's not where it's supposed to be, he's getting choked 100%. If he does take me down, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I'm very confident in my jiu-jitsu. I'm very confident in my wrestling. I'm very confident in being able to get back up off my back. So anywhere the fight goes, I'm confident I can get a finish.
And you obviously have a lot of knockouts, but does part of you want to get a submission win just to prove to everyone that, hey, you shouldn't be messing with me on the ground? Because a lot of people, when they fight you, their whole game plan is, let's just get Sean down to the ground.
Yeah, it'll be cool to get a submission win when the time's right. The longer I can keep that kind of a secret, the better. But I'm, if someone can take me down, then we'll play jiu-jitsu. But I'm not going to let someone take me down. I'm going to wrestle hard and try to knock them out. So if it comes, it comes. I'll be excited. But there's just nothing better than knocking someone out.
We were talking to where you said you didn't really want to fight those heavy wrestlers in the smaller cage. Was Barrett kind of this perfect opponent to fight in the smaller octagon?
He's going to try to wrestle me too. He's going to try to put me up against the fence. That's going to be his game plan. So, if the cage was bigger, obviously it'd be easier for me to move around. But I'm confident enough in my skills that with the smaller cage, I'll still be able to move around and not get put up against the fence. The little wrestlers that will do that, they're going to get kneed in the face trying to take me down, or they're going to get choked. So, we'll see who's next. Who knows? It could be a wrestler next, but if it plays out how I want it to, I get an early knockout. I think everyone knows who I'm going to call out.
And you're someone with you like fighting in Vegas. So are you glad this fight is in Vegas instead of being on Fight Island?
100%. I would rather fight in Vegas than Fight Island. It's just, even with the cage being smaller in Vegas, it's the less shit I got to deal with. 4-hour drive to Vegas and then basically quarantine training and.
You muted yourself. Okay, you're good now.
Is it still muted?
No, it's good.
I tried to stop my alarm. It went off. But yeah, I'm 100% happy it's in Vegas.
And you're someone where your footwork is really impressive. Do you think the smaller octagon really I think it hinders you the most, more than any other fighter, really, just because of your footwork and your side-to-side movement?
Yeah, I think any striker that likes moving around, there's a bunch of them in the UFC. It's going to make us have to move more. I knocked out Eddie. And that's the thing, too. It's like the people that come forward – are going to have to come forward more, try to put me up against the fence. Eddie, that was Eddie's kind of game plan. Come forward. And that didn't work out too well for him. But shout out to Eddie, because that dude was super cool. One of the nicest guys I've ever fought. He's a cool dude.
The past three fights have all been first-round finishes. Do you think you get another first-round finish here?
Yeah. Vera's tough. He can take some shots. A lot of the fights that I was watching, he was taking shots on top of the head and on the side, not on the chin. That's where I hit people. I hit people on the chin. That's where they fall. So, first round, I always see a first round knockout. It's just kind of how my fights usually play out. But I'm going to be ready to go for 15 minutes. I think this could be a really sweet fight for me to get a lot of highlights because he is tough. He is going to be able to absorb some shots. So I feel like I'll be able to bust him up for a while until he falls.
Like you mentioned, Bear has been a guy that's never been finished. So where do you think a finish win over him puts you in this division? Because a win already adds a lot, but a finish win really adds a statement to your name.
I think a lot of bantamweights after that last fight were like, oh, shit. He seems legit. But you can only judge it for how long it lasted. It was only a couple minutes. I didn't get to really show that much skills. I didn't really get to show as much as I am capable of. So I think this fight against Vera, I'll be able to show a lot more, whether it is him trying to take me down or put me up against the fence or wrestle more or whatever it is. I think I'll be able to show more skills and become more of a threat in other bantamweights' eyes. Like, oh shit, this kid's legit.
Have you noticed since the Wineland fight, there's been a lot less bantamweights calling you out? Because before it used to be like 5 a month were calling you out. Now you don't really see many people calling you out.
They're out there. I'm definitely still hearing the call outs. But once I'm champ, I'm gonna take. I get whoever's next. So if you want to fight me, you gotta get in that position to fight me. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get to the belt right now, and then once I get the belt, defending it. So they know how to find me. I'm gonna be the champ. So they gotta be that number one contender or whatever.
You're someone that you don't normally call anyone out. You just let the UFC match with you, but. You've been talking about Cody Garbrandt. Like, Barn get the win. Is that someone? Are you finally going to make a call out and call him out?
Yeah, I mean, he might have a fight book, so it would be silly to, you know, call someone out with a fight book. We'll see how that plays out. You know, there's a couple other ideas bouncing around in my head for a call out, but we'll see. I'm pretty focused on Cheeto and getting that job done.
If it seems like you and Garbrandt are on a collision course, though, whether it be this year, or next year,
yeah, we'll fight.
Do you see that fight playing out between you two?
I knock Cody out 10 out of 10 times. He's it's going to be a striking match, and I'm a better striker. That's just how that plays out. You know, he's got that overhand right where he closes his eyes and throws it, and he's landed it on some pretty decent people. So, you know, that is a threat. It is dangerous when someone throws bombs like that, and they're confident in them. So I feel like I beat him, and we're definitely going to fight, and I think it's going to be a big fight. It's going to be a – you know, I think if it plays out right, see, that's also another thing. Like, maybe I don't fight Cody next. Maybe we let that fight build up a little bit and it be a big pay-per-view fight someday. So we'll see how everything plays out.
And I don't know if you saw, but Cejudo recently did an interview and he was saying, oh, Sean hasn't fought a wrestler yet. He's handpicking his opponents. Once he fights a wrestler, he get exposed. Like, what do you make of, because there's a lot of people saying that, like, oh, wait till Sean fights a wrestler and all that. Like, do you kind of want to fight a wrestler just so you can shut up all those people?
I don't really care to shut up those people. Those people's opinions, like, well, I'm going to fight a wrestler. I'm in the UFC and I'm 25 years old. I'm not going to not fight a wrestler, and I'm not worried about that. So Cejudo retired. I don't understand. I think he was scared of Peter Yan because I knew Peter was going to be next, and I think he was like, okay, I just got to get out while I still can because Peter would probably fuck him up. So, I think Henry's just a little scared to fight. He saw that I was coming up in the rankings. He's seen a couple other threats in the division, and he got scared. He got his first girlfriend, and he doesn't want to fight anymore. So that's all I see. I don't understand. I would never retire if I'm in my prime. If I'm the top dog and I'm in my prime and I'm healthy, the only reason you retire is because you get a girl. 100%, and that stung his little soul when I said that because it's true. Everyone's had a girl that's just taken over their lives, and it's like, fuck, what happened? There's no difference here. They're probably gonna, you know, break up soon, and he'll probably come back, but we'll see.
And you just mentioned Peter Yan. What did you make of his performance? Because I think that would be a sweet fight, you versus Peter Yan later down the road.
Yeah, I want people to know how good Peter is. I watched that fight and I was very impressed. I was like, this motherfucker is legit. He's good. And I want people to know that because when I beat him, I want to get credit for being good, being that good, beating someone good. And it's just a matter of time. We're going to fight. Me and Peter will fight. Me and Cody will fight. And I think me and Henry will fight someday if him and his girl break up. But we'll see.
Barring you get the win, like, are you hoping to get at least one more fight this year?
Yeah, I'm going to try to fight. If there's fights October 10th, that would be ideal. I think I talked to Ariel the other day, and he said there's fights every Saturday till Christmas. So October 10th will be hopefully Beetle. Let me try to flip this around real quick. Oh shoot, that didn't work. No, I can't. Yeah, hopefully October 10th, bust up Cheeto, get out of there healthy, and fight October 10th would be ideal.
And your coach, Tim, he doesn't get a lot of credit. Like, why do you think people don't talk to him about being, like, a coach of the year? Because he's never in that conversation as one of the best coaches.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, you know, I don't think he's too worried about that. It'll happen. It's, you know, it'll happen. People will start recognize maybe after I bust up Cheeto, maybe they will. Maybe after I bust up the next guy, they will. But eventually it'll happen.
You're a guy that the UFC really sees a lot in. Like, even on the Contender Series, Dana White was saying Sean O'Malley has that star power. How quickly do you think you can get to this title shot? Because if you beat Cheeto, like, you're probably only two fights away from getting it.
Yeah, I know how this game works. I understand this game. So who knows? I think I beat up Cheeto, and then beat up the next guy, if it's a top 10, top whatever. And then who knows? It depends if Peter has a fight, if he loses the belt, if he defends it. There's so much that depends on when I get a title shot. But the most important thing is that I go out there and knock out Cheeto.
You're a massive guy for bantamweight. Like, how important has that reach been and just that height for you?
Yeah, it's definitely part of my style. And I feel like anyone that's going to be shorter than me is going to have a really tough time getting inside and landing shots. But yeah, I think the height and the reach is definitely something I'm good at utilizing.
But with that height and like, do you think down the line you will have to go up to 45? Do you think you can be a bantamweight your entire career?
I think I'll be a featherweight eventually. Right now I'm walking around 57 58, so I'll be able to make 35 for a while. There's nothing. I'll never go up to featherweight until I'm champ in the bantamweight, and even then, I definitely would like to defend that belt. So I think I still got some time.
Would part of the goal be get the belt 35, defend a couple times, go up to featherweight, and try to become a champ?
Yeah, that sounds nice. I know how crazy this sport is. I know with injuries and even COVID now. I mean, UFC's still putting on fights, but what happens when? You know, if it gets too crazy, there's too many fighters tested positive. So who knows what's going on? It right now, you know, I'm trying to really focus on Cheeto. But, you know, if the champ's definitely in the back of my head.
And just last thing, we're like 3 weeks out from the fight right now. Last time out, you had the rainbow hair. What is that staying for this fight?
No, I got something right now. That's why I'm wearing this hat.
Top secret then. We're going to see it fight week.
I'll probably make some post here before too long and show it off, but yeah, I got something for you guys.
Will the rainbow hair be back? Cause I really like that hairdo.
Some certain colors will be back. You'll see.
All right. Well, Sean, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We're now joined by ranked UFC heavyweight Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Jairzinho, how's it going?
Good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Let's get right into it. You're making sort of a quick turnaround. You fought back at UFC 249 in May. Like, now you're fighting 252 in August. Was this the time frame you wanted to, like, was this when you wanted to return?
Yeah. I mean, I like to stay busy in the year off. And then as soon as I got this opportunity, I say yes to it. And yeah, here we go again.
In that last fight, obviously, was your first professional MMA loss. Like, what were the emotions like following that fight?
Yeah, it was like, shit, you know. And for me, it was like, go back to the gym, make everything, talk about everything, even the camp, the whole camp, the fight, and. Yeah, especially it didn't go our way and the way it happened really fast. So,
and after that fight, like, did you have your eye on Dos Santos as a possible opponent?
No, I mean, we are in the top. If you ask me to fight him, why should I say no? Still a dangerous guy, good fighter, and a nice guy, also. He's retraining in the same gym, and yeah.
Are you still at, do you still do some training at American Top Team?
Yeah, for sure.
So is Dos Santos gonna be there while, because aren't you guys are teammates, aren't you?
Yeah.
So how's that gonna work for the gym and training partners?
I mean, it's easy. It's easy, not difficult. We have different camps. I mean, East Camp is, American Top Team is a big gym, it's a huge gym, so we have enough space to do our thing, to have separate camps. So that's how it goes.
And co-main event on a pay-per-view, what's it like for you to be co-main with pay-per-view? You were supposed to headline a show. You've headlined a couple UFC shows. Now co-main on a pay-per-view, what's that like?
I mean, my journey in the UFC, everything is new. It's my first time as co-main event. So I think I'm going to enjoy everything of it. And I'm going to do my best to win this fight also.
And this fight is in Vegas, smaller octagon. How do you think that smaller octagon is going to impact the fight?
I don't know. It's the first time I'm going to be in the smallest octagon also. So everything is new for me, and I'm kind of adjust to everything.
With Dos Santos, he's a guy, former UFC champion. He's a legend in this sport. Like, what do you think a win over him does for you in your career?
Yeah, a win over him will put me right there, will keep me right on the good spot. And yeah, when my time come again to grab a title shot, so my dream's still alive, and this is gonna be a great fight for me.
How important is this fight to win, just to get back into the win column?
Nah, this means everything. I mean, every fight for me is a championship, and this fight means everything right now. So I'm focusing totally on this fight. Yeah.
And we both know you and Dos Santos have insane knockout power. So how do you see this fight playing out? Like, do you think this is just going to be a stand-up fight until one of you fall down?
Nah, I don't know. But I'm going for a win 100%. I'm working on it. I have a good camp, feeling good about it. And yeah, I can't wait to turn back in the octagon.
Who are some of the guys you've been working with at American Top Team?
Now, I'm working with King Mo a lot. I'm working with Bebe Monster, it's a friend of mine. Devin, I'm working with a lot of guys, heavyweights.
How important has King Mo been? Because you're obviously a kickboxer. King Mo has really good wrestling. Is that what he's there for, is to improve the wrestling and jiu-jitsu game?
Yeah, also. He's teaching me a lot. I'm learning a lot. And yeah, I'm happy to have him by my side also.
And American Top Team, one of the best gyms in the world. What's it like being able to train there with, there's so many UFC champions, Bellator champions, high-level fighters. Like, what's it like being able to train there?
No, it's often, and I learned a lot from everybody that I train with. And yeah, I always say this, I'm not there yet. So I'm in the right spot, the right place to get all the tools I need to be champion, to be a better fighter.
Have you ever trained or sparred with Dos Santos in the gym?
No, never.
Oh, so it's not like you guys have know each other's styles really well training in the gym.
No.
And with King Mo, is he like, he's obviously that wrestler guy, but you bring in a lot of coaches from your old gym, right?
Yeah, I'm with Buckles, Michael Bob, and yeah.
And you're one of those few UFC fighters from Suriname, and we've seen the reception when you go back there. Like, what's that like? Because it seems when you go back there, the whole country is waiting for you to get back and gives you a standing ovation. Like, when you go back there after getting wins, what's that like for you?
Nah, it's awesome. I'm happy to go back home. Fans and family give me the love. I mean, I'm the only Suriname fighter in the UFC right now, and everybody loves that, and they pay the respect for what I do for my country.
With this COVID stuff, like, how did it impact your training a lot?
Yeah, kind of. I have to be more curious about who I'm training with. Everybody has to get tested. I can't go train like other gyms, or you know, try to keep my circle small as possible. And yeah.
And with the gym, like American Top Team, they have world class fighters. They have world class coaches like Mike Brown, the Conan Silvera, like. How important have not just learning from the fighters, but learning from those coaches who have trained you have fighters to be UFC champions?
One more time, your question.
How important has it, like, the coaches at ATT been? Because their coaches are some of the best in the world.
Yeah. I get a lot of training from different coaches and American Top Team, and I learn a lot in different styles, and yeah. It's awesome to train by them and to see the fight game from another angle. And yeah, I mean, it's what I need.
Dos Santos is on a 2-fight losing streak. Like, what do you take away from his past couple fights?
I take a lot. I used to watch Dos Santos a long time ago, also growing up watching the UFC. And I know he's a dangerous fighter. He can box. He have everything. He have every tool. So to make myself a better fighter, yeah, I work on everything. And yeah, this fight is gonna be a nice fight, a good fight. And yeah.
And on the card is obviously the heavyweight title fight. With a win here, like, do you think you're probably only one win away from getting getting a crack at the title?
I might be. I hope so. I'm gonna be right there. Do what I have to do. Fight. win fights, and yeah, as soon as I get a chance, I want to crack at it.
Alistair Overeem's been a guy that said he wants to rematch you. Is that something you'd be interested in down the line?
I'm not interested in that fight. I mean, we did it 25 minutes, and after I got him down, so I mean, what different would another fight bring? I don't think it's a possibility to run it back.
Well, what about the Ngannou fight? Just because that ended so quickly, like down the line, after you get a couple wins, like, is that someone you still have your eye on to fight again?
Yeah, 100%. I hope he become champion and is more interested. And I would love to run it back. I mean, it's taking away real quick. Nothing happened. Everybody can get caught with one shot. And yeah, I mean, nothing but respect, but I would love to run it back sometimes.
I give it its time.
And in the meanwhile, I'm going to be training, winning fights, and the time will come.
And you're still new in the UFC. Like, you haven't fought a lot of the guys in the heavyweight division. So, like, barring you beat Dos Santos, like, there's a lot of fresh matchups for you, like Curtis Blaydes, Derek Lewis. Like, do you have your eye on anyone after, or is it just the focus right now on Dos Santos?
The focus is totally on Dos Santos. And with a win over this, we're going to see what's going to come next.
And back to the Ngannou fight, like, how disappointing or just, like, frustrating was that for you? Just because that's a fight you were training a long time for. Like, it was supposed to happen in March, got pushed back to April, then got pushed back to May, just to end that quickly, because at a heavyweight division, it only takes one punch, and unfortunately, that's what happened there.
Yeah. It is disappointed, but I can't disappoint anybody but myself, and I always try to find the mistake I made, and by myself, not by nobody else, and yeah. From that point, I work on myself, and as soon as I get back on that spot, we will see.
Do you think Dos Santos is going to try to wrestle you?
Everything can happen. I mean, he have every tools. So I'm going to be there, standing there, and be ready, and yeah, try to win my fight.
Comparing to when you first got to the UFC to now, how much better do you think your takedown defense and wrestling is?
Nah, I mean, it's what, a year and a half?
Yeah,
I got a lot better than before, and even I see it by myself. So this might be an interesting fight, and yeah, maybe different level too.
Do you think that's something a lot of people are gonna do when they fight you, is try to take you down, just because everyone knows you only need to land one punch and you can knock anyone out?
Possibly, yeah, but I mean, it's MMA. You can't go to the ground, you can stand up. So yeah, I'm going to see it in the future.
And with that Ngannou fight, how much do you take away from that fight and just to put into this one? Like, just your first MMA loss, and like, how much do you take away from that and helps you in this fight and your upcoming fights?
I mean, from the second I lose that fight, in my mind, I was already in another camp to work on myself. So, yeah, that might be a totally different fight, and my mindset is also different. So I think I become a better fighter after that loss, and yeah, mentally then.
Is it weird having to fight a teammate?
It have its feelings, yeah. But along the way, we're going to get used to it, because it's business.
And you're a guy, you fight a lot. Like, in 2019, you had, what, four fights in the UFC? Like, it's already your second fight of 2020. Like, barring everything goes well, like, how quickly would you want to turn this around?
Yeah, I mean, after this, I want to fight at least one or two times more. And yeah, I like to be busy often a year. And yeah.
Do you prefer to be the main event, or do you like just having to only focus on having to go three rounds?
I can do every round, five rounds, three rounds. So for me, it doesn't matter. Main event, let's go.
And last thing, heavyweight division, like, the title's on the line. There's a lot of talk, whoever wins, Stipe, DC, both of them might retire. So at the end of 2020, like, where do you see yourself? Like, do you see yourself fighting for the belt by the end of this year, like, one fight away? Like, where do you picture yourself at the end of the year?
I mean, how sooner it is, how better it is. In the meanwhile, I'm working on myself. And if not, I'm going to see it and I'm gonna be there searching for fights and win fights.
Actually, just one more thing. Are you rooting for Ngannou to become champion just so the rematch is for the belt and it just adds more intrigue?
I know. I'm hoping he becomes champion. And so when I get a crack at it, he's a champion. And then it makes more sense. And it's more motivation behind it.
All right. Well, Yerzino, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. No thanks. And thanks to you for having me.
Yeah. Cool guy. All right, we're joined by UFC bantamweight Marlon Vera, who fights Sean O'Malley at UFC 252. Cheeto, how's it going?
Good, man. Living the day and I'm feeling good, feeling in shape, feeling ready to go, and can't wait to make it happen.
Your last fight, that was a fight I thought you won. A lot of people thought you beat Song Yadong. After that decision was read, like, what went through your head when his name got called?
It was a weird thing. Like, honestly, like, you know, some fights, you know, both guys are raising their hand and like hoping they get a decision. And, you know, like, you know, some fights, both of the guys think they won the fight. In this one, the body language don't lie. The attitude don't lie. The guy was broke at the end. Yeah, he threw bumps, but that's what he punched. But I don't think he was landing more than I put the pressure. I controlled the octagon. I took him down twice in the last round to make him decisive. It was weird. I feel I landed more kicks. I made more damage. And when the fight was over, my body, I was feeling great. I was like, yeah, like I won the fight. I got this. And then when the judges say unanimous decision, I was like, well, it's even better for me. If they would say split, in my mind, I was like, Maybe they give it to him. I don't know. But when they say unanimous, I was like, well, there's not even talk about it. And I can see his team, like, telling him, like, if you need to win this fight, you need to win the third round, something like that. Like, hey, push it. This is when you push it. When I took him down, and I was like, well, if his team is telling him that, he's done. So it was weird, dude. And then that was like my breakdown to the top 10, because it was 13 against 14, and then they screwed me over like that. That was pretty lame. But at the end of the day, there's nothing I can do about it, you know. So I accept it. Yes, I talk shit. I make people know how I was feeling. But in the moment they didn't raise my hand, I was like, fuck it. It's until to the next one. I need to let it go and just keep going.
Did you want a quick turnaround just to get that bad taste out of your mouth?
Honestly, I was training. I healed my foot. It was a little sore. You know, I had a little cut in my nose. So I healed that for a couple of days. And after that, I went back to the gym. And I was hoping to fight right away. Because, not just because that, but it's because I like to win. I don't train so hard to lose. I don't sacrifice everything in my life to lose. So I was like, I want one back. So there was a lot of things in conversation. They told me, like, yeah, maybe Jimmy Rivera, maybe this guy. And I was like, I will take any of those guys. And then they said, like, as soon as O'Malley won the way he won, I was like, they're going to set him up. I'm coming off a loss. He's coming off a big win. They're going to set him up. So I knew it before the UFC comments, like, hey, you're going to have this fight. I was like, they're going to call me for that fight. So I was like, I was waiting. And as soon as they called me, like, hey, this fight's in the table, I'm like, let's do it. Why not?
And O'Malley's a guy you're supposed to fight at 239. A lot of people are looking forward to that fight. I think the interest level has only increased since the time. Like, are you glad you're fighting him now? Because it seems like his hype's only higher. It seems like a win over him does a lot more than what a win would have done back at 239.
Of course, and I'm better by now. I'm feeling better. I'm stronger. My mind is sharper. My everything is getting better. My boxing, my jiu-jitsu. So by the time I'm in the cage in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be a better version than I was last time. And I'm sure it's going to be better too. So that's going to make it better, the fight, you know. It's going to be a pretty scrappy fight. I'm going to come for the fight. And I'm sure I know how to win this fight. So I just have to go in there and make it happen. The first thing I think we have to do is make weight and don't get test positive for COVID, because those things are scary. So right now I'm making sure I'm keeping my circle close, and because I'm ready, dude. I'm fucking ready. I'm gonna do to this guy things like people he's not even expecting.
Yeah, well, how do you see this fight playing out? Because it's a really interesting fight. You both of you guys are high level strikers, but you are a really good wrestler. Like, is this a fight you think you're gonna use your wrestling?
Honestly, I'm not a guy that I go for the wrestling. Even when I get hurt in fights before, I don't shoot double. It's like, and of course I'm not an idiot, you know. It's not like I got clip and I'm like, okay, let's swing. I don't do that. But it's easy to read, you know. If you clip somebody and they shoot, they basically telling you like choke me out, stuff like that, like Connor did to Nate, stuff like that. You don't shoot or you swing when you get hurt. When you get hit, you need to find a way to survive, and you can only know that when it happens. It's not like you prepare for that, but my wrestling is good. I have a great wrestling coach. So I will see, like, I fight like this. I use things when I need them, like things like fighting is like habits or like instincts. You just go with the flow and you see what happens. Like, I'm not thinking like, oh, I need to take this guy down in order to win the fight. No, I'm gonna go to fight, and then, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm prepared. I have a great jiu-jitsu team. I have a great striking team. So I feel I'm good. I'm in the right path, and this fight is gonna be great. I have a lot of fucking hype behind, so it make it even better. I like the pressure. I like that.
You're a guy where you finished 8 of your 9 UFC wins. Like, is this a one where you think you're gonna get another stoppage win?
I guarantee you, because I will say the only reason I didn't stop Son is because he got 10 pounds bigger. You know, they asked for the 145. I was ready to make weight. When they called me for that fight, I was winning 149 because I got like 4 cancellations prior to that. I was in shape. I was in camp the whole time. During the COVID times, I'm like, the only people that is not training are the ones that don't really want it. I was doing the whole time. At the beginning, when things were really crazy, I went to my conditioning coach house and I grabbed all the equipment I need. I was training every day at home. I was running in the streets. I was hitting the back. Yeah, the gym was closed. Everything was closed. I was like, that's fine. But I was in shape. So when they called me for the rival fight, for the Eddie Wineland fight, for the first time Son Jadon fight that he declined because I think he was overweight, I was like, I was ready to fight. And when they told me, like, hey, now it's on in Jacksonville, you want to fight Son? I was like, let's do it. I already said yes before. And I was like, let's make it at 135 because that's our weight class. But then they were like, oh, no, I'm too big. And then I risk don't make money if I get too picky with the weight. So I was like, you know what? I will give you 145. It's going to benefit you, not me. Because I was waiting. I cut like 8 pounds. So I will say if that guy will make the weight, I will finish him by the second round. But he got those extra 10 pounds that saved his life, I would say. But, you know, I couldn't prove anything until he make the weight next time.
With O'Malley, like, he obviously coming off that big highlight reel win over Eddie Wineland. This fight, too, on 252, like, to me, this is, like, the second most anticipated fight. You also have the trilogy, which is getting all the hype which it deserves. But do you feel that, too, where your fight, even though it is opening up the main card, is kind of the most exciting fight on this card?
I feel it like that, dude. This guy got a lot of hype, got to bring a lot of new fans to the sport, you know. The ones we call the casuals or the not casuals, the hardcore, whatever. Like, I'm a hardcore fan. Why did I say I'm a hardcore fan? Because I watch every single fight of any event. I'm on Fight Pass like 2-3 hours a day. I'm watching, I'm learning, and I feel that's a guy that knows everything. I think I know what match will match good, whatever. And this is a fight that have a lot of hype. Since this fight is announced, everybody's blowing me off. But I'm like, I don't pay attention to that because that's just external. Like, that's like being famous. That's people in the outside have to feel that. In the inside, the only thing that I need to feel is the drive to work hard, the drive to recover, the drive to want it more than my opponent. The rest, I cannot live that life thinking I'm a superstar because that's just external. I'm focused all the time on what I want, and I need to go and beat this guy up, climb the rankings again, and be a world champion one day.
You're a guy in this fight. You're like a 2.5 to 1 underdog. You're an underdog against Song Yadong. Why do you think people always overlook you? Because you are a dangerous guy. Like, look down your UFC record. You've beaten the who's who of the division. You've, and not only beat them, but you've stopped them as well.
I will say it's hype, dude. It's a lot of hype behind these guys. Like, coming to the Sonya Dome fight, they were saying like, oh, this is special kid against a veteran and a tough guy. The media say like that. It's the same thing with the coronavirus. It's the media making people scared. The only thing that happens, like, when that media get to my head, like, oh, my opponent hits hard, my opponent this and that, then I walk to the cage already with the diapers full of shit, you know. So I'm different. Like, the media say all they want to say. That's just an opinion that they have. My opinion counts more for me. I work harder. I want it more, and I keep playing all the time. Look at Jorge Masvidal. He's been the underdog in the last 6 fights. How in the fuck is the underdog? But the only thing that we can do is baptize a guy. That's it. But we put him out, and I like Gabriel. He's a homie. He's a good friend of mine. I think like him. His nickname is what we are. Gameless, Gabriel. Like, we have no stop. Like, you know, the only thing I want is to be a world champ. And the taste of my mouth I have every morning, like, I'm not there yet. That just told me, like, you gotta go up, put the foot in the pedal and go. Life will never bring me anything if I don't go after it.
You were saying earlier you think you're gonna finish him, and you said people are gonna be surprised. Do you think that is by knockout, or do you think you submit him? Because you have a really dangerous jiu-jitsu game.
I think I'm just gonna make him quit. That's what I do. Like, my cardio is great. I got good pressure, and then my jiu-jitsu is good in top of bottom. So I'm not even worried about. Let's say I hurt him and he took me down. That's fine. How many guys took me down before and they get submitted or they get caught with the elbow? Look, I'm not overlooking this guy. I feel the problem with a lot of people is like they think he cannot fight, and they forget about that. The guy is still a fighter. Yeah, he make like weird stuff. He's funny, he's funky, whatever. But that's good for him. He's selling a lot. But a lot of people think that that's him. That's not him. He just acting up. The problem is really good. You see guys like Garvin biting the trap. He's already talking shit. He's already all mad. I'm like, you guys are idiots by answering. My dad used to tell me all the time when I was a kid, because I was the youngest. My brother, everybody used to fuck me, bother me, slap me. They get after me. And my dad would say, just ignore them. And you see, they stop. And I was like, okay, I tried that. Because I used to get mad. I used to go grab rocks, throw rocks at them. I want to kill them because they will bother me so much. That's why I feel I'm strong. And then my dad was like, hey, don't be an idiot. Just don't answer. Just if they tell you something, just look at them and laugh. And I was like, okay, I tried that. They started respecting me and playing more with me. I was like, oh, well, you know, overreacting is what they want from you. You know, it's like when somebody do a fan and you do this, yeah, you're fucked. You bite it too hard. You need that. That's why I say I have that in me. I'm a fighter. I'm a real fighter. I'm not here for. I can talk shit. That's fine. That is fun. But when the cage is locked, I fight. But also, if we're face to face and you want to get it down, trust me, I'm gonna get it down.
And O'Malley's a guy, like we've talked about, a lot of hype, a lot of fans. So what do you think a win, and especially a stoppage win over him, does for you in your career? Because you'd hand him his first loss, you'd be right up there, like top 10 for sure.
It's a big fight, and I'm taking it very seriously. I'm working hard. I'm keeping my diet. You know, the healthier I am, the healthier my mind is. So I'm in good spirits, dude. I'm working really hard. I have a great staff of coaches. I have Colin Oyama, I have a great sparring partner at Oyama and the team. I got Jason Parrillo making my boxing, my footwork getting good. I have a Jiva Santana. He's one of the best jiu-jitsu practitioners in the world. He fought MMA, so he understands. He knows what's up. And I have Daryl Christian, a great wrestling coach. So my conditioning coach, Corey Beasley. I feel I have a solid team. And on top of that, I got like prime nutrition with perfecting athletes. So I'm a person that I like to spend in my career. I like to make it worth it. So I'm going to be world champion one day. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to provide for my family. I just expect to me to be that number one and provide to my family the best and raise my kids the best, just like my father and mom did with me, and same with my wife. So I'm good, dude. I'm one day at a time, but I'm great.
How important has Jason Prilla been? Because he's a guy, boxing coach, one of the best, trains like Chris Cyborg, Michael Bisping, like the who's who, and he trained champions as well. So how important has he been?
He's very important. Like the connection we had, it's amazing. Like how he talk, how he give advice. He have a fucking energy that turned me on. Like when we're in the locker room, the look he have in the eyes, and he keep it simple, you know. He don't fuck around. He don't bullshit. He don't. I feel that's one of the greatest ads I did in my career or in my life. He's a good person to have around, and as a coach and friend, I fucking love him. Like he just keep it simple, and he just keep my mind sharp. Like this game is pretty mental, so I just like to have him around, and we train almost every day. Like sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't need to do that much, but it's just how the energy and how my mind feels after the work. I'm like, fuck it, like the more we train the better. So, and now we're implementing more stuff more and more. So yeah, I just feel the connection is going really good, and we're working really good together. It's a great fucking coach.
And Sean O'Malley is someone that's already been talking about, oh, once I beat Marlon, I'm going to call out Cody Garber and I'm going to fight Cody. Like, do you think he's already overlooking you and already thinks he's going to beat you?
That's fine. No, that's fine. That I have plans too. I just don't let the world know my plans, because once you tell people know everything you want, you know, people going to screw you. A lot of people say, don't tell your enemies what you're going to do, because then – you know, they know too much on top of you. So that's fine. Look, him having plans is good, because I'm sure he's going to work harder to beat me and then go after that. But, you know, I like one step at a time. I like solid stuff. You know, my grandpa used to say, you cannot put too much in your hands until you cannot squeeze. You grab one thing and you squeeze it fucking hard and you get it done. So I like to do that. So right now I have that motherfucker in front of me. I don't care or need anything else but that night, beating that guy, making him quick. And after that, I already know what I'm going to say in my post-fight show. Like, I practice those things. I look myself in the mirror. I practice my speech. I don't go there and just do it, because I already know what I want to say. My coaches know who I'm going to call out. So I like to plan, prepare, and do it.
Is this fight more of a rivalry for you, just because of everything that would happen at 239, and then it seems like he's really taking a lot of shots to you? Like, or do you think this is a rivalry fight, or is it just another fight to you?
It's a fucking fight to me. Like, you know, I have a very thick skin. I'm not here to make enemies or friends or have this drama. I'm down to promote the UFC. Love that drama between Duke two as like DC, John Jones, you got Kobe and George, you got like Kamaru and George, Kamaru and Kobe. The UFC love the drama, and the fans love it too. So it's not like the UFC fought for this. You know, you got Chael and Anderson back in the day, or the Diaz against somebody, Michael Bisping against somebody. So I play the game. You know, if there's a little bit of drama, fuck it. Let's roll the ball. But at the end of the day, cage is locked. There's no emotions. There's no feelings. There's no anger against my opponent. It's all business. The only thing I want is to get more money. And if that guy in front of me beat me, he would take half of my check. So that didn't happen.
And just last thing, you and O'Malley both seem guys that are going to be in the top five of the bantamweight division. Like, do you think you're going to meet him again down the road, like win or lose at 252?
Most likely. You know, the UFC likes that. They like those rivalry. And most likely if I beat him, he's going to find an excuse why he lose, why he's that. Because already when he's winning, he's putting excuses. Oh, the reason I don't finish my first two fights is because this, that, that. So if a guy have excuses when they win, just imagine when they lose. They're going to point everybody with the finger. When I lose, I keep it to me. I talk to my coaches. I ask him, tell me why he lost. You tell me. It's my fault. It's our fault. I'm like that. I like to be pretty honest. So I go from there. But the only thing I know is that I'm going to fuck this guy up.
Well, Cheeto, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.